Welcome to Pastoring Out Loud, a podcast for South Cities Church in Lakeville, Minnesota. Learn more at southcities.church. Proposition: respond in favor or against. Stacy, Rachel, Ethan. Daniel is chopped liver. For or against?
Being in favor of chopped liver? For.
In favor? No, I am metaphorically chopped liver. Like, my opinion doesn't matter.
Oh, metaphorically?
Yeah.
Well, against.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, against.
Against, okay. Rachel, are you a for?
It may depend on the context.
The context, okay.
Depends on what opinion we're talking about.
All right, we'll try this one. Dune 2 is one of the best cinematic experiences of my life. For or against?
For.
For.
Rachel, do you have any context for it?
No.
I saw Dune 2 on the biggest IMAX in at least the UK in downtown London. I was in the fourth row. It was really good. Mm. Really good. This is not a pastor fully endorsing a PG-13 movie, all those normal provisos and everything, but it's a pretty good movie. I enjoyed it. One more proposition. All right. Proposition: Americans in general, and specifically South City's staff, are entirely too addicted to corn syrup as found in ketchup.
No, against.
You don't think so?
I don't. Okay. In like the broader staff?
Well, no, because I listened to the podcast where people talked about ketchup on eggs.
Oh,
which is basically like, who are you?
Well, only one of us does that.
Is it Dave?
Yeah.
It was only one person.
He was the only one.
Anathema, Dave.
Yeah, so.
Proposition.
We're against
Dave,
that.
About your ketchup. Ketchup.
Yeah, very much against.
I'm going to put ketchup in the sermon this Sunday just to get at Dave. All right, well, that was fun.
Hey, Daniel, where have you been lately?
Lately?
Yeah.
I mean, I was up late last night with my daughter.
Before that?
I was up late.
You've not been on the night with my daughter. You've not been on the podcast for a couple weeks.
Oh,
where have
yeah.
you been? Will you tell us?
I have traveled hither and yon. Hither and yon? I'm not sure. Traveled to, went to a Middle East country, went to Scotland, went to London. I just got the chance. I mean, honestly, whatever you might think about pubs and other things, the idea of pub culture just means that people are way more open to talking about anything.
Hmm.
I had three different opportunities, either as an individual or with others, just straight up share the gospel with people, both in like pub type, restaurant type settings and just elsewhere.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Just really interesting. And then London, I basically walked like 20 miles of London over 3 days and just saw a lot of London with friends. I went to Westminster Abbey's Evensong one night, which was really interesting how explicit the gospel is in the liturgy, but then like how kind of clouded it is too in the Church of England.
Mm.
Like, but anyways, there's some highs.
Wow.
There's some highs. But the biggest high was seeing my kids at the airport afterwards with the sign for daddy.
Aww.
And everything else. I was,
yeah.
I was really missing home.
Yeah. I bet.
But I'm sure a lot of those stories will come out over time. How much of this time have we taken? We take like 7 minutes of the podcast to talk about this. That's not what we're here to talk about. We're not here to talk about all the disparate nations. We're here to talk about our nation.
Our nation.
Yes, indeed. 1 Peter 2:9, a holy nation, the church, but a holy nation that's within a, an earthly nation, America. So, America. So the church in America, yes, that's not me. Stacy, Rachel, have you been in the Sunday school? Ethan, you haven't? Okay. Right. Ethan doesn't go to Sunday school. He doesn't need Sunday school. So, I've not been in this Sunday school. I've been teaching the membership class, but I have read the book that the Sunday school is based on like, you know, half a dozen times or something. And so I'm kind of familiar. Nick keeps calling it, you know, Let the Nations Rage on the podcast, which is just bad. That's not what it is, Nick. You don't let the nations rage. Like, it's how the nations rage,
yep.
Nick. Anyways, but how's the class been?
I think it's been really interesting. There's been a lot of people coming. And
didn't you guys have to move into the sanctuary one time?
The first week we moved into the sanctuary. This past Sunday, we were back in the middle commons room around round tables, and I thought that facilitated discussion a lot better.
Did that feel more rounded?
Yes.
Okay.
And we could hear people better.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Rachel, what's been your impression of the class thus far?
I think it's been good. I've enjoyed sitting in different groups with people of differing views and having cordial conversations.
Is it more lecture-y or more discussion-y?
Discussion.
As an ignorant outsider.
Yeah. There's no lecture.
Okay.
I mean, so this past week, we read through Philippians 3 and discussed that starting off. How does it...
Our citizenship is in heaven.
Yes.
Is that the...
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
And before that, it's the passage about knowing Christ, you know, counting everything else as loss for the sake of knowing Christ. So I think that was a good starting point of just focusing our minds on that and orienting around that passage from Scripture and then moving into the book, questions from the book. So it's usually like discuss with your table group and then large group discussion and then go back to your table for the next set of questions. So I've liked that format.
Yeah.
I think it's been helpful.
Good. Good. So this chap, the previous, this chapter, I don't have it in front of me, but it's something like, you know, the public square, battleground, not
neutral.
Oh yeah.
But a battleground of gods.
Oh, sorry. Public square, not neutral, but a battleground for the gods.
Yes.
Explain.
Well, okay. I think he's trying to bring up that, well, I think at the, we
Doing
know that
a great
we're
job,
all,
Stacey,
yeah,
keep going.
Thank you. I'm trying to collect my thoughts. You know, we all know that we are worshipers inherently. Like every person, whether they're a Christian or not, is a worshiper. That's how God made us. Our hearts are oriented to worship something, and it could be the living God or it could be other things. And so his point in this chapter, I think, is that when we come into the public square to engage about politics or whatever, all of us are bringing whatever our God is into that environment. And that does inform how we talk about issues and engage with other people.
Right.
We're not neutral.
Mm-hmm.
There's not, nobody's coming in neutral.
Right.
We all bring in our own worship, whether it's idolatry or worship of the true God.
Is that true then for, well, Rachel, any follow up there? Is that true also for the people that are ostensibly outwardly atheist, agnostic, secular? Do they also have gods that they bring into the public square?
Yes.
And what are those gods?
It could be themselves. It could be any number of things. Fill in the blank.
Okay. Let's ruminate for a minute. Let's talk. What do I mean? Is that like that one of his key contentions is, right, that there's no neutrality,
mm-hmm.
whether personally held or in the culture. But actually, and if he doesn't make the argument here, he's going to make the argument later that actually the public square always, without fail, every culture is slanted against faithful Christianity, including cultures that are ostensibly Christian, that there is a way that government takes and holds on to power that is universally more like Babylon than it is like Israel. I don't know if that's in this chapter. It's somewhere in the book, filtered through my sleep-deprived, sleep-addled brain. I think it's right to say, yes, we all carry gods, and those gods don't necessarily, this is, you know, pretty obvious if you're kind of in evangelical spaces, but like your gods can be money. Your gods mm-hmm. can be yourself. Your gods can be other things and concepts without, you know, actually bowing down to an idol or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But no less idolatry.
One of the other things he talked about in this chapter is the different views on the role of the government, like the different jurisdictions of the church and the government.
Is this the chapter where he's got the circle, like the area?
He kind of presented different things. Views of that. And then there was a discussion on the separation of church and state. I'm just going to read one of the questions that was in the class.
Is this a question you're posing to us or just presenting?
Sure, I'll just read it.
Can you say proposition and then turn it into a proposition? I'll tell you yay or nay. No?
Okay. I don't know if I can do that right now.
Okay, we'll just say the question then. That's fine.
Okay, fine. I'll make it a proposition.
Go,
I just came with one. Yeah, all right. Proposition. The separation of church and state sometimes rigs the system against Christians.
So for or against? Is that a true statement or yay or nay?
I'm going to say neutral on that.
Oh, you're going to say in between, yay or nay. Separation of church and state rigs the system. Sometimes rigs the system? Is that what it said?
Sometimes.
Sometimes rigs the system against Christians.
With sometimes, yay.
Yeah. I would say yay, in part because I think what the separation of church and state does, as at least popularly conceived, though if you go back to the actual reasons for that phrase being utilized in the United States, there's some questions there. But properly conceived creates, here's a public space, here's a private space.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your private space to yourself.
Right.
And leave the public space sanitized of all that private. It's secularism in its finest form. So I would say, especially with the proviso sometimes, yes.
Sure.
Yes. In terms of Christianity and other religious claims, any religious claims, keep getting shoved into private spaces, leave them out of the public spaces, which, so I think that's part of what he says either later in the book or otherwise, like it's tilted against faithful Christians in that regard.
I'm just going to point back to something that was in chapter one that he brings up again. Whoa, in this chapter.
Flag. Oh, he
just
brings
wait.
It up again.
Yeah, just
second
wait.
Chapter. Okay, never mind.
He says we can't separate religion and politics, but we must separate church and state.
Proposition.
Do you want to just like flush that out a little bit?
It's not like I read the book in the last year.
But maybe what is the role of the church
as
opposed to the role of the state?
Yeah, I mean, he makes the point that all religion is political and all politics are religious.
Yep.
Either in this chapter or some other time, which I completely agree with.
Yep.
Like completely agree with. I think what he means, if I'm remembering correctly, by separation of church and state is they have different jurisdictions over the same things.
Mm-hmm.
The state does not get to compel right worship, nor does the church get to compel right use of the sword, which is the state's. Well, Lehman says either in this book or otherwise, like they're not competent to do so. The state is not competent to compel, which the magisterial reformation completely disagreed with, and certainly many people that would self-brand themselves as Christian nationalists, whether they are or not, would also disagree with. But I think it's fundamentally something that, as a Baptist, I have to embrace, not just for historical reasons, but also for scriptural reasons and what Jesus himself said in regards to the nature of his followers and how they interacted with the world around them. It's not that here I am just riffing, sleep deprived, 24 ounces of coffee. Here you go, guys. I'm back on the podcast. Every nation rages against the Lord and against his anointed. I think that was the point from the first chapter. Therefore, every nation is more like Babylon than like Israel. And attempting to make any nation kind of a new Israel or something like that is an exercise in futility. It absolutely is. That doesn't mean that there's not proper influence that the church should have over policies or politics or other things like that. But the end goal and what can actually reasonably be accomplished in this, the church age, just has to be kept in mind. Like, we're not seeking to seize control of the, you know, the levers of political power, earthly political power. We're wielding heaven's political power, namely the gospel on earth. And that, you know, we can rightly speak to the halls of power about many social issues and say what God has already said. about them. Okay, that's me riffing. I don't even know if that's in the chapter. Is there a follow-up there? Is there more stuff?
I don't know.
You got
Do you want to say anything more about it?
Got this sheet. I want to say so much more, but I'm not.
I think the main points were just that we can't separate religion and politics because we are all fundamentally worshipers, whether Christians or not. And then just this unpacking of the different ideas of how church and state relate.
Proposition. I want you all to respond. This is like my closing thing now, 17 minutes into a podcast. Our rights may come from God, but often we've made them God. True, false, for, against, what do you say?
True.
You think rights become gods?
Okay. Yep.
What do you think?
True.
What do you think?
I missed your question. What?
Proposition. Our rights may come from God, but often we've made them God.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's true, too. Sometimes we, to use Dave's language of emotional triage, often we place our rights all the way in tier one instead of even that Philippians 3. How do we give up our rights for the sake of others? As though rights divinely granted are divine themselves.
Ooh, and maybe...
Dude, that'll preach. I should write a book.
Okay. And maybe we should be more concerned about other people's rights than our own rights.
Whoa. No, that doesn't fly. Ethan, edit that. Can you cut that off of this podcast? I don't want that on there. So that's controversial. Is that the New Testament or something? I don't know. Anyways, any further commentary on the second chapter of Let the Nations Rage?
I think it's been a great class.
The Nations Rage?
I think it's
rage.
Helping all of us think through all of these things. I don't think I've ever had a class in a church on politics or how to think about the intersection of politics and faith.
You and I had very different Christian upbringings then.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. Okay, final comment. Ethan, you got anything? Rachel, you got anything? Stacey, you got anything? Well, next week, we will not be spitballing our way through the book, but no, the experts will be back because Nick and Dave will have returned, and I will probably have more sleep. Thanks, everybody.